Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow co-workers of Christ in his ministry, you all know the phrase, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. Once you know how to ride a bike, you will never forget how to do it. But that is not the only thing about riding a bike that you will never forget. I'm sure you know just how difficult it was to learn how to ride a bike. I'm sure you remember all those times that you fell off your bike and you scraped your knee. No one can jump on a bike their very first time and instantly know how to ride it. It takes time. You start by using training wheels, and eventually you take those training wheels off and you learn how to ride a bike. Now let's apply that same type of logic to the ministry. Paul told us this morning what is expected for a pastor. And he said that person should not be a recent convert. You wouldn't take someone who was just brought to faith and instantly make them a pastor for your church. Instead, that person needs to be instructed and trained so that they are prepared for the ministry. But that's the public ministry. What about your own private ministry? You are all messengers of God's word, which means you have a ministry. Do you feel prepared for the ministry? All by yourselves, you would never be prepared. But we noticed this morning that it is not all up to ourselves. Instead, we see that Christ makes you prepared for the ministry. Christ made his disciples prepared for the ministry. Listen again to what Mark said. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two. Why do you think he did that? Why did Jesus send his disciples out instead of having them stay with him so that they could continue to be instructed? Well, you know that God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this can't be done if it's just Jesus doing all the preaching. There was only so many people that Jesus could reach out to at a single time. So he sends his disciples out. But why did Jesus only send his 12 disciples out to do ministry? Why didn't he send multiple people out? Well, first of all, later on, Jesus would send more than just his 12 disciples out to do mission work. But the reason that he sent out his 12 disciples here is because he had handpicked them to be his apostles, whom he would send out to be his witnesses throughout the world. They would be the leaders of God's church after Jesus ascended into heaven. Therefore, Jesus decided to give his disciples some hands-on experience about the ministry. If you will, he took off their training wheels and he sent them out. But notice that Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Why do you think he did that? Because after all, wouldn't it make more sense that he would send his 12 disciples out in 12 different directions so that they could reach out to more people? Why did he send them out two by two? Well, you know what it's like to have someone else there when you're doing something. Just having someone else there can help to calm your nerves. And maybe that person is more experienced than you. Therefore, they can greatly assist you in what you are doing. And just having someone there means you have someone to talk to as you mutually encourage and strengthen one another. That's why Christ sent his disciples out two by two. It was a blessing for the disciples to have someone else there to encourage them and to give them strength. Christ prepared his disciples by giving them a companion. And Christ has prepared you for the ministry by giving you companionship. And maybe you've had those experiences where you were glad that there was someone else there to help you in your ministry. Maybe it was a spouse, a friend, a member of the congregation that helped to calm your nerves about sharing God's word with someone. Maybe they were there to greatly assist you as the both of you shared God's word with someone. And maybe they were there to encourage you and to give you strength for your ministry. But what about those times when you did not have that companion with you? When it was just you and you alone sharing God's word with someone, did it ever feel like God had left you? That God had abandoned you? God has not left you, because he has made you prepared for the ministry, because he has given you companionship. And that companion is Jesus Christ. Christ has said, "Surely I am with you always." And God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And not only does that apply to everything in your life, it also applies to your ministry. Jesus is there to lift you up when you are feeling down in your ministry. Jesus is there to listen to you when you pray to him, and he speaks back to you through his word. Jesus is there to encourage you and to give you strength for your ministry. But not only has Christ made you prepared for your ministry by giving you companionship, he also makes you prepared for ministry by giving you instructions. These were the instructions that Christ gave to his disciples. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town." Now, when you hear those instructions, do they sound too rough to you? Jesus told his disciples not to take any money to support themselves. Jesus told them not to take an extra tunic, which people would use to keep themselves warm at night. And when Jesus sent them out, he didn't have a home already prepared and waiting for them to come. So these instructions may sound kind of rough. So why did Jesus give them? Well, he gave his disciples these instructions so that the disciples would trust in God to provide for them. And God did provide for them. The night before Jesus died, Jesus asked his disciples, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. God provided for his disciples as they followed these instructions in their ministry. So that might make you think, should we be following these exact same instructions as well? Should we give up our wallet, our car keys, and our cell phones and go out and do ministry work? Christ has never ordered you to follow these same instructions. He does want you to trust in God to provide for you. But Christ has also given you instructions to follow. This morning, Paul gave instructions that pastors are to follow in their ministry. But notice that some of the things that he mentions applies to you as well. Instructions such as being the husband of but one wife, not given to drunkenness, and managing your own family well. Do you follow those instructions in your ministry? Are you content and satisfied with your spouse? Or do you desire more? So that you have lustful thoughts about someone, or you act on those lustful thoughts and you cheat on your spouse? Are you given to drunkenness? That when work is over or when the weekend begins, you view this as the time to drink too much and get drunk? And do you manage your own family well? Do you let the light of Christ shine in your homes? Or do you only act like a Christian when you're in church or when a pastor is around you? And then when you get home, you turn off that Christ-like light in your life and you indulge in your sinful nature. And if you do that, realize how damaging it is. Not only is it damaging for your own faith, but the children will notice what you do. And then the children might think that they only have to act like a Christian when they're around other Christians. But when they are alone, they can live however they want. And these are just some of the instructions that God wants us to follow in our ministry, to make us prepared for the ministry. But the only thing that we have prepared ourselves for is eternal death and hell. But thanks be to God that He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If it weren't for Christ, there would be no such thing as a ministry of grace and forgiveness. But there is, because Christ obeyed every instruction His Father gave Him in His ministry. Jesus followed the exact same instructions He gave to His disciples. For Christ did not have a job to provide money for Himself, and Christ did not have a home where He could place His head down. He trusted that God would provide for him. And he also has obeyed the instructions that He has given you to follow. Christ never had a lustful thought or a lustful action. Christ never got drunk. And even though Christ did not have His own family to manage, He still encouraged the little children to come to Him so that He could preach to them and share God's word with them. And finally, He obeyed the instruction of His Father to die on the cross. And even though He never deserved to obey that instruction, there was no complaint in His mouth. Instead, He gladly died on the cross so that you would be saved from your sins and saved from eternal death in hell. And now, since we have received that forgiveness, we gladly obey the instructions that God wants us to follow. And when we don't follow those instructions perfectly in our ministry, we know we can go to God in forgiveness, and He will freely forgive us. But not only has Christ made you prepared for the ministry by giving you companionship and giving you instructions, He also makes you prepared for the ministry because He gives you power. He gave power to His disciples when He sent them out. Listen again to what happened. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. When you hear those words, what sticks out to you as being truly powerful? Isn't it the fact that the disciples were able to drive out demons and heal diseases? But what if I told you that that is not the most powerful thing that is mentioned here? The most powerful thing is the message that the disciples shared to bring people to repentance. Just think about it. If you had the power to drive out demons and heal diseases, that wouldn't mean that that person would become a Christian. For it is only God's word that can do that. And the reason that God's word can do that is because God's word is powerful in and by itself. It is God's word that makes the waters of baptism truly powerful to create faith in a person's heart and to forgive their sins. It is the powerful word of God that will make the bread and the wine that we will eat united with Christ's body and blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It is the powerful word of God that works faith in a person's heart, brings them to repentance and trust in Christ as their Savior. God's word is powerful. And that's the power that God has given you to make you prepared in your ministry. And since Christ has given you this powerful word, continue to be in His word. Continue to study His word. And continue to preach His word in your ministry. That's why we have all gathered here this morning, so that we can hear God's word for our own lives. And when we leave this church and go to our own personal mission fields, Christ has made you prepared for the ministry. He has prepared you for your ministry by giving you companionship and has promised to never leave you. Christ has made you prepared for the ministry by giving you instructions to follow in your life. Christ has made you prepared for the ministry because He has given you His powerful word. It's just like the last verse that we sang of our hymn, and allow me to reread those words. Wherever we find our witness should be made, whatever our task, the Lord will be our aid, and we will gladly give for Him our best and find each task divinely sent and blessed. That's God's promise for you. He has made you prepared for the ministry. And may God continue to bless you throughout your whole ministry. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find in your pew.